Morning. Morning, dear listeners, and welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And it's a time of the morning that we discuss affairs of global relations, affairs of economic affairs, and issues that affect our bread and butter. We speak about public policy making, policy interpretation, and also policy implementation and measurable outcome, especially when you look at Namibia, economic and social development. We are greeting you from your number one favorite talk radio station, that is Eagle FM. Yeah, it's the 9th of January 2026, and as you know, January is known to be one of the longest months in terms of, informal financial interpretation. But, we are moving, and you must be able to understand that the year has started with a lot of events. Some of the events are, commendable, and also there are some that you wish have never happened. But this is a platform that we are discussing issues of global, continental, and indeed issues of domestic affairs. It's 5 minutes past the hour of six. And as it has always been the case, we are here until the hour of 8 in the morning. And, do not forget that today we have started with our first edition of 2026, the Villager newspaper. And, stay tuned, because we are going to give you an overview of what you need to look into, and also some of the content, particularly when it's coming to issues of food security, business, artificial intelligence, and also geopolitics. Yeah, like we are always indicating to you every morning to say, so it's important also to remind yourself that, when you are waking up, you are looking ahead, you must know, you must have a plan of every day. You must know what you need to do every day, because you'll be able to see that sometimes you see somebody just waking up for the sake of waking up. But you must be able to appreciate the fact that you are awake and you plan your day through to say, these are some of the 5 key things that I'm going to do throughout the day. Because if you have a plan of every day, you'll be able to have a plan of every week, and you'll be able to have a plan of every year. And it's going to be a beautiful thing that you will be able to see yourself after 5 years, to see this is how far you have moved. And there is one thing that I have observed, especially young adults and also young people, that there is this thinking of, the overnight success that everybody is aspiring to be. Every beautiful lady is want to go to Bahamas and take a picture. Every young guy want to be very successful and drive expensive cars and also have a big and beautiful house. But you must be able to understand that Rome was not built one day. And you'll be able also to see that great things, they take effort and they take time. That's why those days, people who interpreted the beautiful city of Rome that time is to say, I want to live in this city. But the interpretation is to say, that city that you see, it was built over hundreds and hundreds of years. One put this building, one put these bricks until it become a very beautiful city. That is it's the same with where we want to get, is to say, the effort, the brick which I'm putting on today can be ended with what I have been putting on from years ahead, from years before, and also looking at years ahead. So it's quite interesting also to see in the world of internet, and also in the world of social media, that young people grow this thing of impatient. But we must be able to see that efforts, they always pay off. When we get to understand that efforts will always pay off, we get to understand that great things, they take time. That's why it's also very interesting also to enjoy the process, unlike looking at overnight success, which come with a lot of things. And looking in social media, reading, you should be able to see people doing unthinkable things to get ahead, even people of a younger age. But for us to move forward, we must be able to have a very clear plan, long term, and also see how we are going to interpret those results that come as a result of efforts every day, every minute, and also every hour. So, yeah, looking at the topic for today, we are going to look at the interpretation of U.S. withdrawal from United Nations. You must also be able to see that if you look at the website of United States of America White House, you'll be able to see the executive orders and directives which are given by the President of United States of America, that is Donald Trump, to withdraw from United Nations, and also some of you know, international bodies and agencies. But directive is given for U.S. to withdraw from most of the agencies of United Nations. And the future is also uncertain, because one thing that you cannot take away from United States of America is that it has been the main sponsor. It's U.S. and China. They've been the main sponsor, the main funder of United States. Either is humanitarian budget, either is operational budget, and most importantly, peacekeeping mission budget. But the withdrawal of United States of America should be a point of concern to everybody, to say if the world is already struggling like this, how fast United Nations has to move to make sure that it find a best alternative model to keep the institution running. And we'll be joined from around 7 there. We'll be joined by one of the trade analysts to look into that aspect, and also to see what is the difference between what is the necessity actually of you know, focusing of national interest. Because for you to go to global affairs, you must go to global affairs with your national interest and ready to compromise. But looking at the U.S., it's more focusing on national interest, and reading the directives and also the pronunciation of the President of the United States of America, I'll be able to see that he is interpreting that within the laws of the United States of America. And he is indicating to say anything which is in contrary, anything which is in contradiction with national interest of the United States of America, any agency, we must move from there. And we are going to be joined by Mr. Nishitire, that is from the hour 7 there, and to look at that aspect. However, let us look at what is happening, especially in the continent of Africa. You'll be able to see that Mr. Wang Yi, that is the foreign minister of China, is has started with his annual Africa Tower. Started with annual Africa Tower, and this time he started with Ethiopia. Started with Ethiopia, and you must see and read the time and be able to realize that China continue to strengthen its relationship with Africa. And looking at the trade relations, looking at the volumes of trade, it's quite a competition between EU and China. And you'll be able to see that China as a country is number one trading partner with Africa, especially a country with a continent. And China is always trying to expand its trade relations with the world. And you can also see that every beginning of the year, China send one of its senior politician and its member of you know, Politburo, that is the foreign minister, And I think he's number four in terms of political influence and power within the Chinese government. And he is taking annual tower in Africa. And in that context, he started, or Mr. The foreign minister, Mr. Wang Yi, started in Addis Ababa on Thursday, that is yesterday, and to look into Africa. The question is that, is he coming to Namibia? Because last year, Mr. Wang Yi started with, you know, Namibia, especially every year. China is trying to making sure that it's building or strengthen the relationship, because in this world, you cannot really say you are my friend if I don't come and visit you and I don't come and water that relationship. That's why in this context,
there's no price like the ShopRite price. We commit to bring you lower prices on all the essentials you need, like 6x1 liter NAM milk, low fat or full cream UHT milk for only 118 Namibian dollars 99 per pack, and 4 liter Rite brand sunflower seed oil, only 159 Namibian dollars 99. Never pay more than the ShopRite price. Valid until 11 January 2026. Only at ShopRite. Catch Ready, Steady, Cook on One Africa. Proudly brought to you by ShopRite Namibia.
Yeah, that's why in that context you can be able to see that when it comes to China, China is building its relationship and also strengthening its relationship, because this is a time of global unpredictability. Somebody that you think is your friend tomorrow got a trade deal somewhere, then you end up seeing reversing of proposal that we have been trying to work on for so long. That's why this one is known in global relations, to say you need to water that relationship. You need to keep engagement. You need to keep projects alive. And you also need to make sure that you give that assurance that we are still behind you. We are still assisting you. And we are still cooperating. Not only relation, instead of saying we are into solidarity with you. Yes, we can be into solidarity, and we can be together in terms of ideology, but the relationship must be productive, because the world currently is a world of focusing on national interest, while you also look at mutual beneficial relations. That's why when you compare last year, especially the beginning of last year, Mr. Wang Yi has visited the president of Namibia, and that was his first visit. And at that point, it was President Nango Bumba, and we also to remember that it was also within that discussion. It was also within that discussion that Mr. Nango Bumba has also revealed about 50 million. Namibian dollars of drought assistance that was coming from China at that time, and also about 14 industrial boreholes that were to be drilled throughout Namibia as part of drought assistance that is in 2025, and also to make a double check, also to see that apart from the food that was received, especially rice from China, where are those boreholes? Did the process start? And who can also be able to point out those boreholes? Where are they drilled? Are they effective? Or is still work to be done? And this is also an interesting time. It's also an interesting time also to look at trade relations. You can also be able to see that Ethiopia is also a strategic trade partner, especially in the Horn of Africa there. That's why Ethiopia and also Eritrea, they've always been, you know, not really in good terms, especially that of who is controlling the trade route out there. That's why, and it's also inevitable for the discussion of security to be part of visit of China, and also the discussion of trade, because Ethiopia has also been struggling with payment of its debts. That's why it has to go through another evaluation by IMF and also try to find a model on how to pay back its debts. And looking at the prediction, Ethiopia is also the future. Ethiopia is also the future when it comes to Africa, not only being the headquarter of African Union, but also it's also a strategic economic hub when it comes to Africa. Because when you look at one of the biggest dam that is using hydropower from the Nile River, that was built in Ethiopia, and you can also see its expansion in terms of logistics. Because when you look at Ethiopia Airway, this year they've purchased around 120 airplanes there to make sure that they intensify their stronghold in business, especially when it's coming to their airlines. And looking at China, you can be able to see that foreign minister, Mr. Wang Yi, visiting Addis Ababa is one of the strategic move. And let us also see and monitor what will be the next destination. Is it coming to Namibia? Is it coming to South Africa? Is it coming to Zambia? Or how many countries he is going to visit? And it's also an interesting time. It's an interesting time to be alive, especially looking at two power. Not really to say two power struggle, but you can see competition in terms of who is controlling the world trade, who is controlling the world main resources, who is having strong economic power, who is also having strong military power too, and also influence. You can be able to see that looking at it's yesterday when I was looking at U.S. Security strategy, U.S. national security strategy, which was reviewed in November 2025, which has indicated to say, you know, the main threat to the U.S. is not Russia, but it's China. And economists have predicted that there's a high possibility of China to overtake the U.S. in the next 10 years or so in terms of economic being economic powerhouse. Because in many platforms, when you look at technology, when you look at the business, you can be able to see that China is one of the most competitive and fast growing economy. And it's also one of the country which has been in trade war with the U.S., especially looking at this point in time when Trump administration is trying to reposition America and under the philosophy of making America great again, especially regaining its dominance. But you can also be able to see that with China, China has been more on using soft power and also economic influence. And a lot of people have been speaking about the strength of Chinese, not only technology, but also military. You can also look at issues of relations, because looking at the BRICS, looking at how many countries in Africa, which Ethiopia is also included, have looked at the eastern part of the world, especially to look at new alliance. You can be able to see that it's more than just bilateral relations. It's more than bilateral relations. And starting with one of the most influential countries in Africa, you can be able to see that that is not a small move, but a very big move to dominate and also to strengthen the trade. And the Prime Minister of Ethiopia That is Abiy Ahmed Ali, stated that Ethiopia and China have enjoyed strong relations for decades, and he stated that it's further strengthened the recent, elevation to all-weather strategic cooperation partnership. And you can see Chinese delegation here, and also the Ethiopian delegation. It's a very interesting time to be alive. It's very, very, interesting time to be alive. Now, moving on. And, this time when people are seeing the more, when you start the producing high output in terms of oil, you must be very careful. Must be very careful, especially those who have influence and also power to control the economic direction of the world. And here it is stated that Senegal 2025 oil output reached 36.1 million barrels and exceeding prediction. That is according to the Ministry of Energy, Oil and Mines. And initial projection was at 30.53 million barrels in 2025. That is a report which came up recently. And looking at that aspect, you'll be able to indicate and also see that when it's coming to Africa, oil production is also increasing and overtaking its usual or former prediction. And that is one of the positive development that is coming out there from the side of Senegal. And people are saying if you start having good yield, you start having good output in terms of oil, you must look at other countries. You must trade well and also trade carefully, especially when you have oil, because oil can be a blessing and can also be a curse. And oil has much to give to its people if it's handled very well. There is much to gain from oil if oil is handled very well, because when people are looking at oil, they only look at the main product which is coming out, but there is a lot of other elements that are coming out from production of oil. You speak about the gas, you speak about grease, you speak about materials that are used in construction of roads, and the many other elements which are coming from that aspect. That's why we are saying, when you handled that oil production carefully and well, then there is no doubt about expansion of the economy, and most importantly, the advancement of human development. Because I was looking at the volume of World Bank, which is released monthly, especially looking at policies and economy, and it's on investment in emerging and developing economies, to realize that since the world economic crisis in 2008 foreign direct investment, especially looking at developing economies, looking at emerging market economies, has been decreasing, although foreign direct investment too has been one of the major aspects of development, especially to countries with good policies, because majorities of the statistics are indicating that the high volume of foreign direct investment cannot alone advance the development of that country unless countries with high level or advanced policies, and also policies, fiscal policies that are answering to the needs of the people, and also good governance too, which was presented out there. That is why having oil output and not having good governance and not having policies which are answering to the needs, and also policies which are managing the economy properly, then it's like you did not do anything. So let's look at an RFC.
The festive season is a time for traveling, a time to reunite and celebrate with loved ones. But most importantly, it's a time to obey the road rules. Check your tires, wear your seatbelt, drive sober, adhere to speed limits, and walk responsibly. Do the right thing and save lives this festive season. Your family awaits.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Simon, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any other.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
We are moving forward. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. It's 33 minutes past the hour of 6. And we are looking at the issues of global affairs. And, interestingly, there's a lot of things that we are expecting. There's also a lot of things that we are seeing. And there's a lot of things that we are yet to see in 2026. And, one of the things which is happening currently, as I indicated, that the Chinese, one of the Chinese senior politician or senior official within Chinese government, that is the Minister of Foreign Affairs, is visiting Ethiopia. The other thing which is happening in the sea or in the ocean, actually, of or in South African waters, is there is China and Iranian warship which arrive in South Africa for BRICS Nava exercise. And this is a joint exercise of warships, especially when it's come to Nava exercises. You see different units of Navy from Iran, from Russia, from China, and other BRICS country exercising or showing their strength in the sea, or in the ocean, actually, sorry, in the ocean of South Africa. It was stated that warships from China and Iran have arrived in Cape Town ahead of a joint military drill hosted by South Africa starting Friday. And the military drill is known as, or is named, Wheel for Peace 2026. And the drill bring together key nations from BRICS plus group. Because now it's no more BRICS, it's BRICS plus group, because it's no more just Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. But you also have other countries which have joined. You speak about Ethiopia, speak about Egypt, you speak about United Arab Emirates, speak about Indonesia, and also partners too, because BRICS is expanding. And it stated that China will lead the week-long Nava exercise held in South Africa waters from January 9, which is today, to the 16th of January. And it stated that Russia ships are expected also to reach Cape Town. And we're going to see a lot of things, to see a lot of things that we have never seen. Speak about submarines, speak about warships are not ships that they are just for carrying cargoes, for carrying cell phones and car parts that we see in most cases. Warships are armed ships that can carry fighter jets, can carry military armed vehicles, can carry rockets, and they are not your commercial ships. And it's also very interesting also to see, keep yourself updated on what's happening, either it's on social media or it's happening on TV, especially when you're going to see this exercise. And also a lesson to learn, especially for military advanced countries. And it's not the first time, last year China has showed military might, especially showing a drill, especially after Shanghai Cooperation Organization Summit, which have happened around the end of last year, where you were able to see China showing military might. You were also able to see new military fighter jets, you see razor weapons, you see rockets, you see also nuclear bombs too, just to show her military might. And it's a posture of showing strength. It's also a posture of saying that you can also not just come to me and do whatever you want. And you're also asking yourself that the timing of this Nava exercise, was it a long time planned, or is also a move to show the US on the other side too that we are also here, you must also look at us. And it's an interesting time to be alive. And naming this drill Wheel for Peace 2026, what is the meaning of that? Is that a message to the US? But it's also up for interpretation. It can also be just a formal exercise that is also to indicate that the BRICS is more than an economic cooperation, but it's also a cooperation of military alliance. But one thing that you also need to look at is also, that what have been stated, especially by the South African National Defense Force, they released a statement which indicate that the People Republic of China led a joint interagency interdepartmental multinational exercise will be hosted in South Africa waters from the 9th to the 6th of January 2026, and the exercise will, for peace, bring together navies from BRICS plus countries. And I think Ethiopia also sent, and also those countries which have navies, because you will be able to see that not all the countries have navies, not all countries have soldiers from water, or not all countries have navy, not all countries have access to portion in the oceans. It's only those countries which have oceans. And you can also see that I think Brazil will also be able to send their warships, and we are yet to see, because some of these things, they are not really shown. We are yet to see. And international media also are reporting that this initiative also risks further straining relation between South Africa and United States after months of growing tensions between the two countries. Because remember, looking at Cyril Ramaphosa and Donald Trump, the past 6 months or so, they have not been in good relations, although South Africa have been trying, but also to see, either it's in terms of tariffs, in terms of trade. You can also see the bold move that South Africa have done, especially shifting its trade to the eastern part, and also looking of different trade routes. But what you need to understand is that, as it was stated in this program by Ricky Simasiku, to say, in this world, countries are looking at their own strategic interest. Do not think South Africa and the United States of America are not trading. That's one thing that you need to put in mind. And the other thing that you also need to put in mind, to say, although there are sanctions, do not think Russia and United States of America, they are not in trade relations. They are still in trade relations. They are still receiving US dollars on other platforms. That's why where trade relations are meeting, where interests are meeting, this country continue to talk. And do not just think the world is entirely divided into two parts, to say it's only those who are working together with China, Russia, and others, and those who are working with the Western. Look at the situation now in EU. EU is divided. Not everything is supporting the move of NATO alliance, US to Venezuela. Although they can agree on issues of Ukraine, not everyone is supporting that issue of Venezuela. Because the world is about interest now. And what is being stated in UK is not what is being stated by the entire EU. Although UK now is not part of EU, and what is stated in France is not what is represented by the entire EU position. Then you can be able to see that it's about interest. There is no, feelings attached to it. It's about countries also trying to survive. And it's also a scary moment, and we have to see and see what will happen. Because if you look at Iran warship, Iran is not an easy country in terms of military position, in terms of research, and also in terms of science. China too. That's why you can also be able to see that when South Africa is calling on US to back down on Venezuela, it's not only alone, but you also speak knowing where you are standing. That is why you see some of the reactions we see on social media. I say, guys, don't get involved. Keep us away from that. interaction. Please deal with your own problem. But yeah, it's 44 minutes past the hour of 6. And as I indicated, from around 7 there, we'll be joined by Mr. Nishitire, who will engage us, especially looking at issues of United Nations, issues of trade affairs, issues of survival, looking into 2026, especially when we are at a time when U.S., the main funders or the main sponsor of U.N. agencies, is withdrawing. Are you also seeing the shrinking in terms of the workforce in the United Nations? Are you also seeing that? And how can we find a better model? How can United Nations find a better model? And remember, when people speak about United Nations, when people speak about the United Nations headquarters is in the United States of America, and be able also to see that it's quite interesting. And I remember when Trump was addressing UN at UNGA, at one point they also spoke about taking care of the building, speaking about renovation, and also speaking about Americans spending and advancing the structure of United Nations. Because something to look at. But for now, let's look at a short commercial break, then we can continue with the conversation for today.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its
Eagle staff. FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipurane ngino wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoye ekukulile oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuana ono ngeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito tanjuka okukwetera oipindi konu konda doinawa nuneudo otukwetera o special ange tashake ngejepa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendike nawa nokumona oijabo ili nawa ninge kwata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumberewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. And, as I indicated, we'll be joined, in a short, period of time by Mr., Andreas Ngshitire, especially, when it comes to issues of, United, Nations. And we are also going to look at, what we have in the Villager newspaper, especially after our engagement. After our engagement with, Mr. Ngshitire. And, just, shortly, we look at, Zambia making a move, especially, when Zambia withdraw the request for IMF loan extension, and they stated that Zambia has withdrawn its request for a 1-year extension of its extended credit facility with the International Monetary Fund, and said on Wednesday no reason has been given for the turnaround. And looking at the extended credit facility that was agreed on 2022 to help Zambia to stabilize its finance after defaulting on its international debts 2 years earlier. And it is stated that that 1-year extension would have released an additional $145 million and kept IMF monitoring in place. But in this case, Zambia said no. We have to rely on domestic revenue and other partners to plug any remaining financial gap. Those who understand public finance can be able to tell you that if you are in a global space, especially when you are dealing with international financial institution, they will give you a loan. And they give you another loan. So you can borrow from another international institution a loan so that you can fill that gap. Then you end up moving in a circle. It's like your financial relationship with the micro lender. Things will not get to balance. But Zambia, looking at Zambia, it is stated that they are saying no to the extension of that credit facility. They are saying no to IMF, and they are saying they are going to rely on other alternatives. And it's how you navigate the highly capitalized world, and it's also how you look at your interests, and also how you are going to use money. That is why sometimes I also, when I look at the documents, I also say sometimes Namibia, we may be at the right place. And weighing option is also good. Because when, I remember when Namibia paid back over $750 million US dollars. It was not an easy thing. And you can read it from the face of public financial expert when they are saying now we are going to look at the domestic revenues. We are going to look at domestic investors. Then the question that you're asking yourself, what lesson have you learned from borrowing that, over $750 million US dollars from as part of Euro bond, and after paying it back and you are saying, no, we are not going to look at the domestic revenue, but for your interpretation, you can be able to see that that was really a lot of money, but it put you at a difficult situation too, and pressured you to pay it back. And the method that you have also used to pay it back, it means that you also end up again having nothing in terms of that. That's why Zambia is saying no, their focus now is on domestic revenues in order to deal with their financial problems and also promote their developmental agenda. And the government of Zambia is projecting an improved financial focus in 2026, predicting that the budget deficit will fall by more than half, and that the growth will exceed 6%. And that is what is happening. And IMF is a good international financial institution. And but if you are not reading between the lines, you can also be able to realize that its operational depends on the way you are dealing with it. Its operational depends on the way you are dealing with it. And also, sometimes when you are comparing this report, especially when the World Bank is speaking about external funding, speaking about foreign direct investment, speaking about grant fundings, you can also see that in many cases, you can have two case studies of countries getting money from World Bank and IMF. Can be the same amount of money. This country can be in the same geographical region, and it can also have the same economic standard, but the financial policies within those countries are different. When we look at the case of structural adjustment, although structural adjustment was terrible in most of the African countries, it was not terrible around around the world. There are success stories of structural adjustment program too. But sometimes it's how you deal with money that you have within your country, and where you are investing into, and also who is in charge of leadership. Because currently, as you are speaking, we need African leaders who understand how business is working. Because whether we speak about ideological differences, whether we speak about Marxism, socialism, communism, and capitalism, you'll be able to understand that trade is everywhere. Whether you are a social democrat, whether you are a capitalist, whether you are a liberal economy, whether you are operating on pure free market economy, you'll be able to realize that trade is trade, and you must understand how business is working. And if you have leaders who do not understand how the business is working, then it's going to be very difficult to assist their citizen to move out of poverty. That's why looking at HH, coming from the background of business, studying business management, and also being in private sector for a very long time, he understands the game very well. The same way Trump understands the game of business, because whatever is happening, Trump is increasing USA revenue. We may not like the process, but that is his method of increasing US economy. And the other time was he was boosting, and I don't know what Joe Biden have done to Donald Trump, because the way he's looking at his administration is to say, no, America, you had the worst situation at that time. And they are speaking about increasing their budget, their defense budget, to $1.5 trillion from $1 trillion yearly. And to say that all that money was generated through its economic readjustment, either is cutting out aid, either is sanctions, either is relooking at tax, either is tariffs. And that is USA for you. But you can also look at the Zambia. You can also realize to say, President Hakainde Hichilema, he also understand that game very well. So it's also say to stop only depending on international financial institution for advice and also for money. This thing will not work out. You may end up losing all your resources and you may end up compromising what your people was supposed to benefit from. So let us look at a short commercial break, then we look at our guest. And you can engage us in the studio at 083-288-401 or 083-288-401 so that you can hear your view, you can hear your opinion. You have a right to exercise your democratic rights and freedom of expression. So you give your opinion and views, because it's through conversation that we co-create knowledge, and it's through conversation that we'll be able to think and rethink. And there are people who have a made up mind, because they are saying an intelligent person who is also productive, somebody who can learn. You can come to somebody who can learn, or somebody who's good at learning, somebody who can say, no, even if I thought I knew, it's time. Even if I thought I knew, it's time for me to change my mind, because I'm presented with new data, I'm presented with new interpretation, and I'm presented with new reality. And the most unproductive person, or the person who find it very difficult to move into the future, is somebody who does not want to learn. If somebody lost a debate based on facts, that person was supposed to sit down and also reevaluate the facts that he has been thinking that they were facts. If new reality is presented, if new data is presented to you, and they are verified, you can change your mind. Because there are people who, when you get an advice, they know, I've been doing this for 20 years, or I'm older than you. But that is not how we should learn. And it's also a debate that is I think it's in public sector. To say, no, you are younger, or you just came, how come you are telling me we have been doing this? But the world is changing every minute, and change must be part of the process. And also the change of mind, the change of process. If you have been doing that for the past 20 years, why service delivery is poor? If you have been doing that for the past 35 years, why there is policy contradiction? If you have been doing that for the past 35 years, why a lot of young people are in the street? If you have been doing that for all those years, why the economy is not benefiting the majority of the people? But if you can come to the point to say, man, I think you are right, we need more data. I think we need even additional think tanks to supplement existing think tanks. We need independent think tanks that can also, not really to say compete with the National Planning Commission, but provide the parallel data. As I was speaking to Epaphras Jonas, who was saying, when you look at the private sector data, when you look at economic data from public sector, you see a lot of contradiction. There is a lot of incoherence too. And some data are older than the other. Some, they take time to come. And how is that going to inform the decision? Because if you look at the private sector, I like looking at the banks. The banks are very clear with where they want. They have their data. They have their data security management. They have their data storage management. They increase their revenue based on real data. They do double check their system. They invest in the research. They invest in their strategic planning. They focus on productive outcome. But look at public sector. You can also see that although they are trying to catch up, there is a slow pace, and there is a lot of contradiction too in terms of policies. That is why we need to change. Everybody need to change. I need to change. You also need to change. Because if you are only saying, I've been doing this for 20 years, or this is how I know, or I was educated in this, people call me chief policy maker. But you don't want to be presented with new reality. People are speaking about data science. People are speaking about advanced M&E. People are no more using traditional way of data analysis. People are using even AI for data analysis and also fast planning. If we are not able to do that, it will take long for us to get where we want to get. So let us look at a short commercial break, then we'll speak to Mr. Inshitire on U.S. withdrawal from United Nations Agency and other international bodies. And these international bodies also include the bodies of the bodies that are part of EU and NATO members. And also to see, is United States standing on its own? And is that the right move, being isolated? Or it's also finding a way to find new partners? Because the only unbreakable bond that I have seen, doing a little bit of research on international politics, the relationship between Israel and the USA, whichever administration come up, you will listen to, you don't know what Israel have given the USA, but they have a very strong relationship. If it was a love relationship, it's unbreakable, a love affair. Because I listened to the speech of Bush, George W. Bush, senior and junior, sent to Bill Clinton, you listen to Obama, you listen to Biden. All those speeches are always indicating to say, Israel is the greatest ally in the Middle East. It's the greatest ally in the region. And I do see the relationship of Israel and U.S. is even stronger than U.S. and other EU. And the other way around, any country can throw any other country under the bus over the other. That's why analysts are saying when South Africa touched Israel, it was a bit of a miscalculation, because that is U.S. in the other part of the world. But yeah, let's get a short commercial break, then you look into that. Because if you see U.S. is throwing all those agencies under the bus, but none of the corporations that the USA have been with Israel was ever broken. None of the agreement was never broken. If you see Israel can even convince USA to bomb Iran, you really see that these are partners. And that is maybe the only main partner, apart from many others. But yeah.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of
its Eagle staff. FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
eye. Ikurane ngeno wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tite opoye ekukulile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special angetashia kengeshe faa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamwiri nawa. Ninge kwata fanona monika ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ileko berewa, mera hetatu natu, bali o hetatu matatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
We are moving forward with early morning scoop, and it's 10 minutes past the hour of 7, and today we are joined by Mr. Andreas Nshitire, to speak to us, especially when, we are talking and looking at, the moves by United States of America, especially removing itself from, United Nations agencies and also removing itself from other, international bodies. Mr. Andreas, good morning and, welcome to Early Morning Scoop.
Good morning, David, and good morning to the listeners, and thank you for having me.
We are happy to have you also in this platform. Let us look at the move by United States of America. To you, what was your first impression when you see that the directive is given, the order is given, for everything that is in contradiction with United States interest, as it was stated that they are no more going to be part of these agencies? Maybe just to read some, you can look at the Global Counterterrorism Forum, you look at Global Forum on Cyber Expertise, you look at United Nations Population Fund, you look at the Department of Economic and Social Affairs, UN Social Economic, and many other institutions, Peace Building Commission, Peace Building Fund, UN Alliance and Civilization, and UN Energy. What is your impression when you get this?
Well, the administration of Donald Trump is a very, very unpredicted in terms of their American first policy, which is now changing most of the things for their own benefit.
Mm.
And if you look at what they were arguing for those things in his first administration, 2017,
yeah,
it was also look at those things. What are they benefiting from that?
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at on the security, for example, if you look at the counterterrorism, which is now NATO, that can be there for people to sustaining peace in the allies and all of that.
Yeah,
they were arguing about Germany. Part of the atom cell, which is now, that's part of Japan and South Korea, spending a lot of money in terms of the, to maintaining peace on that area. Yeah, but this thing, it's a two factors, which is now geopolitics and economic activity, which is, if you look at the benefit of the UN, it's really affected. Yeah, because they will now cutting about, it's already cutting about 15% of their budget, which is, it's a very, very, how do we call it? It's not a good decision for them. They were supposed to warn the world, and no matter, it was a joke to say it, your countries will go to hell if I'm
calling. Great news! Himba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Himba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Himba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Himba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Yeah, okay, let's continue.
If you dive deep for their reason, if you look at the UN entities, which is now affected in those 31 entities, like UNFPA, which is now part of the population. Those are now the problems that UN is not doing enough for them. And that is where the if you look at the ASEAN one-child policy, it helped those countries, but if you look at the part of the, many countries like Bangladesh, for example, Afghanistan, Pakistanis, and some of African countries like Ethiopia, Somalia, most of these children are born in the refugee camp, which is will be also affected because of the budget cut, which is now the refugee settlement. It will be affected. Where are they going to getting money to settle those people in their refugee camps? And in terms of the health, also the vaccine, that's combining vaccine, it will also be affected. If you look at also the education initiatives, it will be among the refugees.
Now let us look at national interest, because we say we are more concerned with what is happening in the world, although we cannot run away from the world, which is a global village. Now, from an American point of view, is Trump making America great again, is that beneficial for a U.S. economy? Was it really that the USA was not benefiting from that? It was only bleeding money. But with that, they are going to save money. Are you also agreeing with that?
Yeah, if you go to in terms of economy, yes, the American sang are not benefiting a lot, because if you look at what a Secretary of State indicated, that when they are tracing this budget, the foreign policy budget to supporting countries, most of these organizations, they are only one that is creating among themselves. And if you look at some of these programs, they are make it sharp for the Chinese to benefit, not the American companies to benefit. And the ASEAN and African government are benefiting more to that. And if you look at what the peacekeeper also, if you look at the conflict of the war in the world, UN is not doing enough to intervene on those, preventing the fight.
And maybe, you know, when you start analyzing, it's also to say the prolonged war is a beneficiary of a peacekeeper, because you need to go to the mission, you get fundings, and some of these things, they really start, when you're looking at them from another view, realize to say sometimes it will become business to other people.
Yeah, that is true. As I said, if you look at what in they initiate, because UN was supposed to be there for preventing those things and analyzing and monitor the conflict of the world. If you look at in those long bandits like Boko Haram, ISIS, and Al-Shabaab in Somalia, the UN will never be a part of that negotiation to see what these people want. Yeah, them, they wanted to be fund so that they can take care of those people. It look like it's a police who are catching the criminal and discussing the issue of releasing with the prosecutor. So after 2 or 3 days, you see the man is already back in the street. So those are the UN, which is now undermined by Trump, because what is the American benefiting to supporting the reproduction of population, which are born in poverty? They are not doing business. You are just funding them to getting food, and you are not teaching them how to settle and do their own business, or they are cultivating their own food. In the economy, yes. The American companies, government and to feel off the taxpayers' money, Americans were not getting anything from them.
Because I was also looking at one of the statements that Donald Trump have made, and is to say, after all this thing, we made a lot of money from tariffs. He was boasting about that. He said, no, we made a lot of money from tariffs because Biden was just giving free money. We also made a lot of money from economic adjustment. That's why they are speaking about increasing their military budget to $1.5 trillion to say with that they make more money. Now, let us look at the structure now of United Nations. Do you think United Nations will manage to come up with a better funding model? Because minus the support of US, which is not entirely withdrawal because they are in other agencies, minus the support of United States, now we are left with China. Is UN still going to find a better model on funding itself?
Not that much. They are ready. Like the challenges that the UN facing now is a really bigger one, because of the, as I said, if you look at in the budget of the World Health Organization, which is now 9.7, and the Higher Commission for Refugees, which is 10.5. If you look at those WHO, which is also 6.3. So China have been in there on UN for long, and what is making Donald Trump to pull out from the WHO is that the UN didn't want much in China when it was the Wuhan or the COVID was detected in China. Yeah, they look like they were scared to taking up those acting to say no, come. Putting up the quarantining and all of that so that it is spreading to the world. So Trump was saying that, you know, these people, they are also waiting this virus to become a pandemic so that they can make millions of dollars out of it. And yes, it was having evidence of saying, if you look at the vaccine that was produced, yeah, most of those lab or making millions of dollars, and that is watching to say, is China really focusing on supporting? Because China is always in follow where Americans. And the Americans now will starting picking up ally or partners now in this. Yeah, if you look at us, for example, in Africa, if you look at the way now Southern Africa, Botswana is going out, and they are now starting to negotiate with Zimbabwe or choosing one of those countries like Angola, for example.
Mm.
So if they picking now Zimbabwe, because I look at their budget of this sector is to paying back the loss of the white farms.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, yeah, the budget has come from America, which is now 3.5 billion.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if they agree, because remember Botswana, Zimbabwe is fighting to go back to the body of the world to removing this sanction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that is what others in there walk away from America, and some of them wanting to go back to America.
Mm.
So that's why I'm saying it will be difficult for those countries to making money out of themselves.
Mm.
And also when it comes to economic activity,
mm.
like now renewable energy or green energy that people are talking about, Trump is going back into fossil fuel model.
Yeah.
Now, if you look at China, he was putting a lot of money into to
renewable
energy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to renewable. And now, America, they said, no, we don't want that. That's why now when they look at what they're achieving in Venezuela,
yeah,
they want to making fuel more needed in moving with the world. So that is where European, they're also suffering because of that.
Mm.
Yeah, because if they end up not being picked by Americans, and Americans picking the Asian or African, some of countries in Africa, Europe will suffer because they have been with China. And China is starting already losing money.
Mm.
Some of these people, some of these services, they were used by Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Americans pull out of those countries,
now I was also trying to look at the long-term benefits of the U.S. because it's like things are becoming so entangled to each other and you don't really understand. Because when I look at EU, I look at the NATO alliance, then I also find out that some of these organizations that the U.S. is pulling out, also those organizations that the relationship that they have formed with the relationship that they form with EU, for example. Now, is also NATO becoming weak? Is EU start being a burden? Because the only relationship I was speaking about today that is unbreakable is US and Israel. But I think looking at NATO, looking at EU, it's like even in NATO, US is the main funder of that. It's like not really interested.
Yes, these guys, they are doing good when it comes to math.
Mm.
Yeah. And
they're economists.
They are really, really powerful people if you look at what they are doing.
Mm.
Where are they wanting to benefit? It's where their money is.
Mm.
It's where they are funded. So that's why now, if you look at the single country like Israel, Israel have been there for years, and they never begging American to come and support him when it comes to fighting for those terrorists or any of their state. So they do decision on themselves. They have been fighting with Syria, they have been fighting with Iraq, fighting with Iran, and they have and they have those neighboring countries like Lebanon, this guy for Gaza. So they know what they are doing. Americans know what they are doing. And that is what I'm saying. You look at those, when I was talking about American taking them out from the UN. And if you look at now Germany will become also a single country to support themselves. And that is where the war will be end up coming back. Second World War will come because of that. Because there is nobody that can control in those countries now than before. Because the United States were part of the establishment of UN, of United States organization. Because these guys, the business people, like JP Morgan Jr., they are the one that is organizing money to come and involve in in Second World War.
Mm-hmm.
And they were benefited a lot. That's what I'm saying. These Americans, they are doing mess because they know where they are benefiting and they know where they were losing, because the original ideas was not just to go and funding or keeping people safe.
Mm.
No, it's for them to making money. And then now, there is no money. You funded the money in investing. Because when you are investing, you are expecting to get profit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they are not getting any profit from UN.
And what to see is also after every war, there is always a reconstruction. Then the company can come and reconstruct and you pay back again. Just hold on for a commercial break. Just hold on.
When life gifts you.
Honey, the washing machine broke again.
Take control with Express Credit. Get fast, reliable relief when you need it most. Borrow 3,000 to 32,000 Namibian dollars, repayable over 2 to 5 months. Apply for a quick cash loan. Easy application, same day approval. Visit www.expresscredit.com.na or SMS gift to 32274.
Omarandithiro we hira kamwaha yanje ombango batule bana mbio tukondwa tokolo mbanda inga omachivithiro omana hepero chinene okula ko ministry otutu ngono bikunwa omibano matuni no wehi alikane pulatene na wa numuhana sane ombulenji ko nepo wetu nduroye obararanganda no mapanga omina rashike omina rakusha omahiwo kolo mbanda mona mbia omahiwo horo mende nukaye sokurandisiwa munga mwa omano auhe okukala norupa munga mwa omangulilo ngasha mano marandisiro po omarandiro wa mahi ochina chichiri penje oveta. Oveta yomatuni wa mahi wakolo mbanda, oveta oisha tano yombula inji onayewali nambali, isha era oukahu onga nolongito ohamukua na indo. Omberero yomarandisiro wa mahi penje oveta. Olombero lokochi veta, obakatuke oveta mapea abehunga mwa iyo olombero lokufuta oshimariwa po omberero yokukara mondeko. Ondombero yongaro ongwa yoshiwana. Okurandisa po, okuranda ehiro kolo mbanda, marire ochinashima chitwara kolo njaka halomahi, nomba meno mokatiko biwana vietu. Muhepa okushuwa shike, ehiro kolo mbanda ehiretu atuhe, oro omahaneno woburo yetu, jima iso kuyeta ombwiro komundu auhe. Okutida obiruma twa vietu, kehiro mwano wakutenga ehiretu rokolo mbanda, etemonao tuyanja ondengero kondenguyo mbalu yetu, nokushevera olondendera letu. Chivisa obishitwa vyo penji oveta. Chuno mahaka wangamwa omangulilu o penji oveta, alikana chivisa omahakango kuhona pare ombalu, ochirata shomahi wakamuha, po kombero yo ministri njiri popedu noruko ndwaroye. Katungule pamwe okushevera olongulo letu rokolo mbanda mena rolondito na lamuhuka. Omunisti kaina kukara no mediria wangamwa ombanjarero yolomburo dehi, duma detwa iyo marandisiru wa mahi wakolo mbanda penji oveta. Nyemburu kakusha, kehiro kolo mbanda ochina ochihude, gaturi tide kehiongaro ombwa nunji nongulikiro kubandu abehe. Okuhepa koma unguliru wakumwe, ombude yorati yonji, yadikamithiwa pamwe no batu yoshimariwa okulako horomende ya Namibia, no horomende yehiro bando ishi, okupitira mombanga yomekulisiro yehiro bando ishi. Konjivisiro yoko murungu, alikana hakaena kweno mbero yorupa roma unguliru wakumwe, kweno shiwana, monministri yotutu ngono vikunwa, omeba no matuni no wahi, po kongole no mora inji, onora, ohambo umwe, oimwe, ombali, onora, ohambo nda tu ohambo mbali ohambo umwe ombali no muri.
We are in conversation with trade analyst Mr. Andreas Ngitire, just to look at the withdrawal of United States of America from United Nations agencies. Most of the agencies, influential agencies, you speak about peacekeeping missions, developmental and economic commissions, and one of the reasons presented is to say no, America is not benefiting from this. We focus on national interest. Now let us look at employment, because when America pulled the plug of USAID, everybody felt it, and it was a bit devastating. But the world have coped. Is this going to impact the operation budget and also also the budget that has to do with recruitment, because we see United Nations have a lot of agencies which employ people either is on contract basis. You also see other agencies which also working with other agencies within those countries. Are you also going to see impact on the human capital of United Nations?
Yes, it can be there, but most of those entities they were touching with other ministries, and for them it was a scheme. Let's call it. It's a really deceive or how do we call it? They were not really standing on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's a blancher which is what created in there for them to see how they're making money out of themselves and spoil themselves and all of that, which is what's detected by the economic advisor in the Trump administration, that the money that they are funded the countries it went into the hand of those people who are not supposed to be benefited. If countries now are funded by Americans or supported by Americans, like in terms of health, in terms of drought relief and all of that. So they're giving this money to the disaster risk management, which is now straight into the Prime Minister's office to contribute to those drought relief and all of that. And if it's supposed to be for the health issue or pandemic, which is going to be attacked any nation out there, it goes straight into the Minister of Health. So this was warned before this decision. Yeah, they have been analyzing all of that. No. This is not impacting anything. Yeah, these people that is they are scammers who are in UN.
And
if you look at even the climate change itself, it is really a scheme, because they want to change where we are and they want into making their own project that we can fund out of them, the ideas. So yeah, for those now. Is what I'm saying. If you look at the one police child in Russia, it was work, and it has been in there for years now. But we are not doing this to African or to refugees, for example. Yeah. So we allow them to get in children and born them, these children in poverty and in anger. Yeah. That is where now the war is broken in Horn of Africa or in Central Africa there or in West Africa, because they are grow up in that. This is what goes to the terrorism are born in those refugee camp. They are starting to be enemy of the progress, the nation progress, because of that. And those are the things that we are blaming the UN. Because you are supposed to talk to those women that, no, at this level, at this stage, you don't need to get children.
In this situation.
Yeah, because we have to implementing those contraceptive tablets that they can prevent them to do that. But UNI is entertaining them, and that is in if you look at a peaceful country like Namibia, that is under the ministry.
Now, let us look at the national interest. You know, there is one posture which is given by African countries to say, as long as I'm in line with, we focus more on praising international space or the global rather than our own people. That is why. You see, we make more comments when a country is in line with international body wants. We speak more on what the country when it's in line with international body, but we don't really pay more attention with domestic affairs or national strategic interest. Do you think it's the right time now for African countries also to focus on themselves rather than saying, somebody's not giving us money? Because one of the aspects that we see until now is that when you want to say how East Africa going to develop? One of the things that we see is that we do not have more money. Somebody is not giving us more money. We do not have foreign direct investment. All these things. Now, as a trade analyst and somebody who has been around for some times, what do you think about Africa and their national strategic interests?
Yeah, the African influence or fuel in fire is kickback. Yeah, most of these regimes, once they starting to benefit it, they forgot who put them there. And that is what they didn't even commending anything when AGOA was end. So they are, because it was their opportunity to be a part of the economic activity in the Americans market. But them, they don't care. Yeah. Because of, they are not benefited on that. They are benefited on kickback. And if you look at the kickback that is now using by Chinese, it's a powerful thing, because if you look at the Chinese state owned enterprises, which is, you know, companies that are constructed big, that are involving big projects in Europe and Africa, they are state companies. They are not individual companies. So which means they giving a lot of money to those ministers, to those government people, ministers, and all of that. So the Africans not really in business. In terms of economic activity, they are not to make it easier for their people that are involved in business or in their natural resources, which is they call themselves they are rich because of that. And you know, the issue that causing problems when it comes to foreign direct investment, which is now, if you call these investors from America to come in and do mining in your country, remember that their investment you have to pay it back, or you have to pay them out if you're wanting to be relieved from them. So that is where now I think in the future it's not only we are going to see things happen like this from United States, but we will also end up seeing it from China. Because most of the projects in that were funded in European countries and African countries were funded by the state. And the state will not allow it to lose. And that is what happened to Venezuela. Because the money, the most of the companies that are exploring oil in the world, they are getting funded from the state.
I think we are in agreement, because I was looking at this graph from foreign direct investment intelligence, and they do studies on global economy. They analyze economic affairs, and they presented a report on Venezuela. And they also stated to say, since 2012, when Hugo Chavez, gave power to Maduro and took over all those years, what was happening there is that when Maduro wanted to nationalize and wanted to focus on his socialism policies, most of the companies, international cooperation in oil, they were suffering. That's why there was a decline in terms of inward FDI. And the decline even went to 64%, which means that Maduro has been under pressure all those years. That's why it ended up being business of oil, not really to say it's drugs and, a weapon smuggling.
No, it's not. The drugs is there. Yeah.
Yes.
Because if you look at what is happening to the nephew of the first lady, Yeah, those who were arrested in Haiti and sentenced to 18 years in the United States jail. So they were part of the power of Venezuela. So that's why this lady, she didn't be arrested because of be a wife of Maduro. No, she be arrested because of her own action.
Oh.
So, yeah, she's also a powerful woman when it comes to government reshuffle, to government appointees. She has been in there for years. And, she came, on Hugo Chavez. And Hugo Chavez, so, Venezuela was really a good democratic country.
Just hold on for ShopRite, then, we can look at that.
Pena wengu takazenga moon dando za ShopRite aruhe ukunine on dando za wapivi mi pumbiwa esiku gashe pakete jo makirigo na milka UHD oli teri mageri moga hamano kudora esere no logo na ketatu no seno birongo wei no wei oli tera nezo magadi go pujago right brand sunflower kudora esere o mirongo ntano no wei no seno birongo wei no wei o morosh ono kufuta shivuli fepo ShopRite prize ufa nito zuwa mlongo na limeza anuwa umo vigari no mirongo mbali na hamano oko ShopRite akuke goi no parutha ready steady cook ko one Africa numa panduro ku ShopRite Namibia.
Yeah, let's proceed.
Yeah, and that is called evidence that they have, and she has been a powerful woman that she Maduro says, and she got married to Maduro because of
politics.
They have politics, not because of the business of love. No. That one is separate. So those are now. If you look at in the time of who destroying the democracy, it was Carlos Andrés Pereira who came back, because in 1970s when he became a president, he was invited to those foreign direct investments to come and do business in Venezuela, and the money was doing good. And these companies, these countries, they were funding Americans. They were banking in Americans. Banks there. And the Americans, the banks, they are not making money by keeping money. They making money by renting money. And they were renting back money to Venezuela. But when Carlos come back in the second term after that, he find already the countries are involved in oil. Some new explorers are coming in. And they were losing the benefit that they were benefited in the '70s. So when Maduro came in, I mean, when Hugo Chavez came in, he wanted to take him out those resources. Let me say the infrastructure of resources, which is wrong.
But the graph is showing that Chavez was doing better compared to Maduro. Maduro was having more pressure compared to him.
No, Charles, he finding money in the state.
Oh,
yeah, that didn't say he was doing money, because remember, Charles until his death, since 2008 up to 2013, he was fighting with those companies. He never compensated those companies. No, they were just in court while he making money out of their infrastructure. So now, that is where the problem, that's where the revenge Americans are saying, we are going to getting our oil back. Because they are funding. It's their investment that is there. You never pay them back. But if you look at in other economic benefit, if you look at in North Korea, for example, North Korea, Americans, they have nothing to hold there. They came in North Korea in 1895, and up to when Japanese come to colonize that country in 1910, the Americans were paid back by Japanese in terms of what they are invested in North Korea. So today, they have no reason to attack North Korea, because all what they are having, they were having there,
it was
paid out. So and it's the same that is happening to Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia pays back the investment.
Mr. Insitire, just lastly, there is always a question of concern that maybe what lesson do we need to learn as is Namibia, because our oil is coming, and there is prediction that the first oil will come this year, analysts are saying, and they can turn the regional market if Namibia start producing oil. Now, how can we protect our oil? Some people are saying it's our oil, some people are saying it's not entirely ours, but how should natural resources being protected, and what lesson we can learn from other countries that who handled oil very well, and also that who become victims of their own wealth? Just 2 minutes.
Yeah, I think as I given those example of North Korea, Saudi Arabia, yeah, and the people that is really understanding this situation, you know, investment is like relatively again, medicine, this, he make it clear that oil is not ours. We need to pay back if we want him to be, have access on that. So, for the government, they need to also start to consider how much money are they funding, are they involved themselves on this project? Yeah. Instead of them to demanding the percentage, they must be including the workers on that. So they must using the tools, which is workers, for them to benefit in those 30 or 40% indirect from the workers. That is the only way they can control this oil. But if they are saying we will be protecting our natural resources, let's be underground. If you allow somebody to...
you will not even use it.
So those, don't risk on that to say, let us take it out of fooling the FDI. It's what I'm now seeing. And I wanted it to people, if you listen to the one I told you about on December 6th.
Yeah.
All those things, they were there to warning you that you don't make it. Because if now those FDI is starting to realize that, this is the trick. They after 2 or 3 years when they saw that we are digging out or we are settling out on the infrastructure, they said the revolution, they're changing the system. Yeah. No, that will be a problem in the future. Because they know that the revolution is nothing, it's just a changing of the system that which is now American state changing the regime or regime change. Africans or Namibians, let us also starting to funding to be a part of this. No matter you do your money in corruption, please go back into the world stock, Namibian stock exchange, and fund those projects that you know is you are going to benefit for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Then to run away with the money.
Yes, Mr. Andreas Nshitire, thank you very much for your time, and thank you for your valuable input.
Yeah, thank you for having me, David.
All right.
And present day.
Right, cool. Yeah, that was Mr. Andreas Nshitire. And the point you should take out from there is that you must also be part of the project. Invest in your project. And you know, I was reading this thing of greenfield, and I realized that sometimes we don't explain to our people what does it mean. And we don't know, and that is also where the problem is. We speak here about our natural resources, but have we also invested there? We are just saying a person is underground, is mining uranium or is mining diamond. You are just here waiting for a percentage. You don't know what's happening underground. But have you ever sent your people there? Have you ever invested there? I was reading this thing of greenfield foreign direct investment. Then I realized to say, no, wait, when you speak about greenfield, foreign direct investment, it give the country, indirect benefits, but it's giving more power to, international cooperation, because greenfield is like you are giving an independent to somebody to come invest in your country and make business inside your country. And at that point also in time, you can also benefit indirectly, but this person has power. because the United Arab Emirates and the Qatar, they paid out people's money. Because if somebody come and drill oil from you, then you say, no, nationalize. How can you nationalize if people came with their machines? They will come for you. And we must be very smart about this to say it's our thing, but we must invest. Now, in short, let us look at what we have in the Villager newspaper today. On top of the Villager newspaper today, we speak about, we speak about Kren, Koi on Starlink related questions, and it's indicated that, you know, the Communication Regulatory Authority declined to questions that were sent by Eagle Media House. And some of the questions are related, or questions are related to Starlinks. And some of these questions, four questions is that, what are the Kren's thoughts on email templates that was created to send the license, the licensing of the licensing at Kren, and of the 1,180 written submission in favor of Starlink operations in Namibia, how many look like the above template text? Kren also requested for public to submit their opinion via email or handwritten, form. Does Kren feel this was effective way for soliciting opinion from average Namibian? Should this not have been a paid national campaign? And also the question related to international stream, that is IShowSpeed, will be making his way to Namibia in the next coming days to live stream from Namibia as part of his Africa Tower. He used Starlink to connect to the world. The Starlink hardware has been seen during his stream in South Africa. Will Kren allow the world famous streamer to continue using Starlink in Namibia? And also, for our own basic understanding, Starlink is a satellite internet, that is operated by SpaceX, and that is the company of one of the richest men in the world, that is Elon Musk. And there have been a lot of views against and for related to the use of Starlink in Namibia. And there was an ongoing survey, and also Communication Regulatory Authority asking Namibians to give their opinions. But looking at the questions sent by Eagle Media House, they are not yet answered. But you can read the entire article on top of the Villager newspaper. And the other, when you look at page 3 of the Villager newspaper, you look at 364-day treasury bill attracted 1.1 billion in single auction. You may be able to look at that content and get the understanding on how the treasury bill attracted the 1.1 billion in single auction, especially looking at the issues that are related to the investors, either is domestic investors, either is investors that are looking at government and the borrowing capacity too. And yeah, looking at page 4, you can be able to see that there is ongoing application to Velvicia School of Agriculture that is speaking about programs such as National Vocational Certificate in Horticulture and Crop Husbandry, National Vocational Certificate in Farm Machinery and Infrastructure, and Certificate in Livestock Husbandry. And this is level 2. And the application is going until the 31 January 2026, and application fee is only 200 Namibian dollars if you have a farm, if you are an agriculturalist. And make sure that farm worker of yours is trained, because people must be capacitated with skills. And you can find some of these courses at the School of Agriculture, at Velvicia School of Agriculture. And yeah, looking at page 5, you can be able to see that the first time garlic farmer yield 1,500 kg harvest. It's an article written by Louis Sashimi. And you can be able to get that insight based on farming. How is the farming of garlic, and also what is the yield out there. Then you can also learn from others who did well. And looking at the beginning of the year, farming season, and looking at Kavango East and West, you'll be able to read the full article on the readiness or Kavango farmers' hope for good harvest amid insect concern. And that is an article by my colleague Anakreta Haikela. And looking at page 7, you can be able to see that Eagles set for Nepal tournament via India. That is Namibia. That is Namibia national team on cricket. And be able to look at that. There is an opinionated article that is on it is written by Torimove Kachipo. That is looking at the lost generation. Why Namibians youth are educated but unemployed. It's an opinionated article. Get that content and read it to say why are we educated but unemployed. And you know, the good thing about the opinionated article is that you as a researcher or you somebody who is interested in development, you can also give your counter opinion, and we exchange ideas, and that is how the country develop. And we must learn what experts are saying, and it's rich in content, well researched. Get time and read the Villager newspaper. And page 9, you see that Vurman Block continue with its 2026 sale, and want a real good chicken mix portion at $79.99. Look at mayonnaise at $750 gram at $37.99. You look at ice cream and many other products, and just a Coca-Cola 2 liter at $21.99. And there's a special on back to school. Back to school special. Speak about the shoe polish, Kiwi shoe polish, just at $16.99. Speak about knickknacks. You know, bale assorted to 50 times 20 gram, just at $57.99. And also back to school. Make sure that you get something for your children. Something for your kids, something for your burdens of joy at Woman Block Namibia. And you can only get that when you read page 9 of the Villager newspaper. Subscribe, like, and share the page of the Villager newspaper, and you'll be able to get content of that. So, dear listeners, from me, David Shombe, that brings us to the end of our conversation. And have a good Friday. Enjoy your day. See you around. And bye-bye for now. Leave you in the good hands of Michael Choveri, the big Mike, to unpack the day.